Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is here, bright-eyed, ready to do this. He's producing and engineering the show. So important. Without Ray, you wouldn't be able to hear me. So together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Final day of March, Thursday, March 31st. Just listening to Ed Alexander doing that news break there. And thank goodness we have the Tucson Wildlife Center in this community. They took that injured bobcat over there. I've been a huge supporter of the Tucson Wildlife Center and the work they do. They have a really state-of-the-art wildlife hospital now over there, and thank goodness that we have a place like that and can take our injured four-legged wild friends to get medical attention. We're coming to you from The Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, and we live stream our show on KVOI's fine website, kvoi.com, and on my website, buckmastershow.com. And we have all of our programs, the complete show archive, the podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040 for your calls, comments, and suggestions. And we invite you to become a friend of our program on our Facebook page. In addition, you can follow us at Buckmaster Show. That's our Twitter site. Let's go now on the live line to the Tucson City Hall and Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick. And then we'll be, after the interview with Councilwoman Ulick, we'll preview next weekend's Autism Walk, and then followed at 12:45. If you've got any last-minute tax questions, CPA Michael C. Flowers will be available to answer your questions. Councilwoman Ulick, how are you?
Great. Thank you, Bill.
Well, it's a beautiful, lovely day here in Tucson, and I wondered if you could give us an update. How are we doing on the battle to cut into some of this red ink on the proposed budget?
Well, we have a unique process planned for the coming week, Bill. We have a retreat of the mayor and council and our executive leadership team Monday afternoon, beginning at 4 o'clock. It's posted for sure. It's an open meeting. Very unusual for us to have the opportunity as the full mayor and council, city manager, and the leadership team of the department directors sitting down together to go through the initial list that the manager has put together. Both have proposed revenues, but primarily I think to look at each department's proposals for cuts to the budget. And then the next day, on Tuesday, we have our regular mayor and council meeting, and we will continue the budget dialogue through April and probably into May to finalize the budget. But the list is comprehensive and could close the budget gap. However, many of the cuts will be tough. We've reduced our workforce already by 20% from 5,000 employees to 4,000. And so you can imagine that any additional cutting is going to be beyond to the bone. I think it's really going to be stuff that the community is going to have concerns about.
How does this compare at this point of the budget process to where we were with the deficits at this time a year ago?
Well, if you hear Council Member Fimbres speak, especially, he's been on the council now for 5 years. 5 years ago, the deficit was $50 million, and we've whittled it down to 40, then 30, and we're still hovering at that $30 million mark. And that's because we have some expenses that are increasing, particularly pension costs, which we are now required to account for not as an amortized death liability, but one that we have to sort of account for fully in our budget each year, and it's a big hit. And so even though we have cut dramatically, those escalating costs combined with pretty flat revenues mean that we're still looking at a $20 to $30 million hole.
How big a piece of the pie is that pension issue?
Well, the amount increases quite dramatically. I think for the next couple of years, it gets as high as $50 million, particularly in the public safety pension. area. So it is an enormous cost, and it's one that we're grappling with head on. And I think that we will be seeing from both our police chiefs and our fire chiefs some real targeted examination of how we have structured both of our public safety departments and ways that we may restructure and reorganize to not only to save cost, but to make sure we would do that keeping an eye on service levels and how we can best respond to the public safety needs in the community.
790-2040 is our live line number. Jim has called us. I believe it's our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Councilwoman Ulick. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, thank you, Bill. I'm Ms. Ulick. Listen, why isn't the city just considering handing over SunTran to the RTA and let the RTA manage and control public transportation on a regional basis and give up the liability that the city has to SunTran?
Thanks for your question, Jim. And we are actually having a very a targeted conversation, including a very recent round of planning with the RTA and PAG on transit. We are collaborating very closely. 90% of transit users, Jim, live within the city limits. And so, you know, to hand the system over to a regional entity, especially a regional entity where the city has one vote out of seven, is a tough step. What we're talking about is a transit authority that would be have more proportionate representation, but that could be under PAG or a regional governance structure. It may not involve the entire region that's represented on PAG. It might be the footprint of it may be smaller and more encompassing the communities that have, you know, transit use, Tucson, South Tucson, perhaps Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita. So we're looking at it very closely, Jim.
And this would be called the Tucson Transit Authority, a TTA. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, it would be more a transit authority. I have also argued that we ought to combine the transit authority with the parking authority because we have to structure and build infrastructure for transit very tightly aligned with where we have infrastructure for parking, obviously. If you want people to park their car and get on the bus or get on the light rail, you have to plan those two elements of infrastructure in an integrated way. And also, you know, it makes sense to me to have the resources of both of those entities and the costs on the table at the same time. So those are the kinds of things that are being discussed right now.
Is there talk of increasing the transit fare, and how would that make any kind of difference in your budget deficit?
Absolutely. There absolutely is a need to increase revenues. Fare increases are being discussed. Also, some of the revenues that we will see generated out of the redevelopment of the Ronstadt Transit Center. The Federal Transportation Authority requires that the revenues generated from that be rededicated to transit. And we have other, you know, the transit center right adjacent to the Tucson Mall, I think, is another example of a development opportunity that could raise revenues for transit and spark the kind of economic development that we're seeing downtown.
The nonprofit community is very upset about some proposed cuts. I know the Community Food Bank has been outspoken about this. Primavera Foundation is scheduled to lose, I believe, $170,000. Pretty much everything on the table, Karen Ulick, at this point?
Well, yeah, and I have met with the director of the department, which oversees that process, early on, a couple of weeks ago. And it is going to be a big question. I think that what we're trying to accomplish is to address key priorities that the mayor and council and our community know we need to address, like homelessness. And yet we have investments that, if we pull them, could add to the problem, right? If you stop emergency food assistance and some of the emergency programs of Primavera, are you trying to fix things on one end while you're pouring fuel on the problem on the other side? So it's going to be a very intense conversation, I think.
All right, we'll talk about police and fire. That's a huge concern after we take our first break on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. I want to remind everybody that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by the James Beard award-winning chef Janos Wilder. His new venture is called Carriage House. It's an event and cooking school at 125 South Arizona Avenue in downtown Tucson. Mr. Wilder, Chef Wilder, will be actually doing a class that's coming up a week from Saturday, part of the April roster. The Saturday morning classes are at 11. There are also Tuesday evening classes at 6. Call 615-6100 or go online, carriagehousetucson.com. We'll be right back.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call Five Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. Five Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts Five Star at 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Alrighty then, we're back on the Buckmaster Show, just a few seconds away from saying it's exactly 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview will feature Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos. That will be at 12:04 tomorrow. But right now, Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman on the Buckmaster Show live line. Councilwoman, when it comes to police and fire, people get very nervous, and rightly so, when they hear about cutbacks in both the police and the fire department. It's a concern, to say the least.
Of course it is, yes. Bill, and I think that we need to make it real clear that we're working very closely with both departments, the personnel and the leadership, to talk about the potential impacts of any changes. But one thing I would highlight, and this is why I think, for example, with our new police chief, why he was so widely supported by the community to be hired as the new chief, is his approach of community policing. We have had in our budget 1,000 officers annually, yet we have learned that about 300 have been assigned to actual patrol positions, and many of the balance have been assigned to special duty assignments. Now, there are ways of restructuring that I think the chief wants us to consider that would allow for promotional opportunities, advancement opportunities, and even specializing, but keep more of our officers also out on the streets engaged with the community. So that's really underlies a good share of his plan. So I think there are ways of restructuring and reorganizing both police and fire to make sure we keep everybody safe, and yet, you know, structure in a way that makes sense and saves dollars.
And Chief Magnus has been lauded in the law enforcement community for his innovative approaches. So maybe he is the right person at the right time, considering what we are facing in the city of Tucson with this budget deficit.
That's certainly why we selected him and why the manager recommended that we hire him. And again, I think that it is really critical that we make sure that the department continues to attract the very best talent and retain that talent, and that will be part of the equation that we look at.
And there are no plans to close fire stations?
There are not. There, in Chief Critchley's plan, there's a look at the prevention team, whether or not to shift those from uniform positions to civilian positions, or are there other strategies in prevention that would, again, meet that need but cost less, quite frankly. Also, how we deploy paramedics versus trained EMT folks, and again, where the balance is there to serve the public, keep the public safe, and yet, you know, look at it again to see, are there more cost-effective ways that we can deploy resources?
People, of course, care about police, they care about fire, they care about roads, and I'm actually hearing people complain, not about the condition of the roads so much now, but delays around town. So actually, that may not be such a bad thing, because roads are getting fixed.
Right, they are. It's tough on businesses especially, quite frankly, because, you know, you and I might get home 10 minutes later, which is painful for sure. Businesses may find their revenues drop in their customer base. So we really are trying to make sure that businesses are consulted and they know in advance when those projects are happening, because we certainly don't want our local small businesses especially to feel the pinch.
How are we doing in that five-year plan, the road building plan?
we continue to be ahead of schedule and below budget, we're paving a lot more roadway than we thought would be possible with the $100 million bond package. And when it's all said and done, I think the community will be very pleased. I think we would hope that we could continue, get that bond renewed and continue, because clearly neighborhood streets and some of the smaller collector and other smaller streets are going to need the same kind of repair that the major streets have been receiving.
How about Cherry Bell, the mail facility? Has that now been delayed, that closing?
It has, and I have to say, credit, such enormous credit is due to Councilmember Fimbres for that. He really has led the charge and coordinated the effort with state and federal officials. And yes, the closure has been delayed, which is very important, not only to the folks employed there, but again, businesses rely on timely processing of their mail, as do you know, people who are reliant on mail for everything from getting medications to, you know, communicating more widely. So it's a very significant development, thanks to Councilmember Fimbres.
When will this Charter Review Committee's proposed changes come before the council, the proposed changes to the city's charter?
Those are coming this month, and I think that they have some proposals. For sure, the election process will be something we'll be discussing, and they have two recommendations for us to look at: ward-only elections or ward-only with the existing wards and adding two at-large city council seats. And then in terms of the revenue and finance picture, they also are giving us recommendations to look at for lifting some of the charter-imposed limitations that currently the city has imposed on itself. We've imposed them on ourselves through the charter.
And if these proposed changes, would they go on the ballot in November, Karen Ulick?
That's what we have to discuss. I would think that certainly a portion should, because we really, delaying these kinds of decisions that the voters really need to make isn't going to serve the community well. There's never going to be the best time to put these kinds of questions on, and it'll be at the bottom of a very long ballot. But I would suggest we need to make progress. The charter revisions that had been approved recently by the voters have already made a big difference in how we manage and govern the city. And I think that we should continue that progress.
The bringing back a tax on advertising, does it look like that proposal is going to be dead?
You know, everything on the list of revenues and everything on the list of cuts, with the exception probably of what's being proposed in the public safety departments, because those are such new looks at those functions, we've talked about them and rejected them several times in recent history. So the advertising tax, the rental tax, the food tax, the one thing that I think we might look at, I would suggest we look at, is the utility tax, to see whether that ought to be adjusted in keeping with what other cities are doing, even in this region. So, you know, I think we're going to try not to look at new taxes as much as really making progress on reorganizing city government and doing things differently.
And again, the public is invited and urged to attend. This will be an open meeting. Give us the details again, please, Councilwoman.
Well, it's in my calendar for 4 o'clock Monday, April 4th, and probably will go until at least 7 o'clock down at the City Hall. And, it will be really a unique opportunity to observe mayor and council, the city manager, and the heads of our departments in dialogue together, going through the budget and the proposed savings that that we might consider moving forward.
Certainly, if you're a stakeholder in some group, I'm sure that you will want to have your voice heard, and this would be a good opportunity for you to find out the latest on what's going on with the city budget. Karen Ulick, thank you very much, and I hope you have a very good first weekend of April. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Karen Ulick with us, Pima, Tucson City Councilwoman on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. We're quickly approaching the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. We are here every weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com. Very important topic, autism. That's next on Buckmaster on a Thursday. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview is with Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun, and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. My kind of weather. Really glad it cooled off. It just feels invigorating out there. Joining me now in studio on the Buckmaster Show, Nicole Glassner is with me. Nicole is Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southern Arizona, based right here in Tucson. Catherine McCronus is with us as well. Catherine is senior board member and chair of the upcoming 10th annual Autism Walk and Resource Fair. She is the parent of an 11-year-old boy with autism. Catherine and Nicole, thank you for coming by.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit about Catherine. What is autism?
Autism is a developmental disorder. It's a delay. There's neurotypical children, and then there's the kids that are autistic. Kids with autism tend to have low eye contact, sensory things will bother them, low core development in their core, communication skills, social interaction with neurotypical kids is very, very difficult for them.
How about, Nicole, with the walk coming up, this is your 10th annual, what's the purpose of the walk?
The purpose of the walk is to really fund all the programs that the Autism Society of Southern Arizona provides to the community. We know that having a child on the spectrum can be very expensive, between therapies and everything else that the parents have to endure. So Autism Society provides all kinds of programming and services free to little charge. And so this helps us pay for those programs so that we don't have to pass on those expenses.
You just used a term that perhaps our listeners may not be familiar with. You said on the spectrum. What do you mean by that, Nicole?
So autism is actually a spectrum disorder, which means that we always say if you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism. Everyone is very different. There's certain key things. Social interaction is usually a component all the way across. But you can have children who are, you don't have a physical look when you have autism, but there's certain things like flapping of hands or lining cars up to categorize. The sensory overload, the social interaction is always hard. Eye contact is always hard. But it goes along a spectrum. Some people are just very verbal and can make it through fine, and others are nonverbal and struggle more, and it's a total spectrum.
And Catherine, how is the diagnosis made? I'm just curious with your own child, when was this diagnosis made with your boy?
My son got diagnosed shortly after his second birthday.
Okay.
We noticed at about 12 months that he wasn't babbling and we weren't getting eye contact. At about 15 months, we noticed he didn't play appropriately with toys. He categorized toys.
Huh.
He didn't really play with them. And then we noticed that he really wasn't able to communicate with us. He couldn't tell us when he was thirsty, when he was hungry, when he needed to go to the bathroom. We went through the early child find, and they referred us to Dr. Sydney Rice. She's a developmental pediatrician at the U of A, and she gave my son the diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder.
And you had a real good relationship with her, I assume, then?
Oh, yes. Forward. We still see her at least once a year.
So the prevalence of autism, is this something that continues to, there are more and more cases, Nicole?
We just got new numbers out today, and they kind of stay the same, but it is 1 in 68 nationally, and we're 1 in 64 in Arizona, which basically means that over 3 million people nationwide are affected by autism.
And of course, the obvious question, Catherine and Nicole, about how do children, is it inherited? I mean, what is the cause of autism?
We are not 100% sure what causes autism. There could be a genetic component to it. There could also be environmental triggers. We are just not sure at this time what is causing all this increase. One thing that has happened is our doctors have gotten very better at diagnosing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably a huge step in the right direction, because
right.
It would be a huge concern, I'm sure, as a parent, not knowing the young child, not knowing why the child seems to be different.
Right.
And so it's, you know, getting that diagnosis is probably a huge relief in many cases.
Sure. And I think the sooner you do it, the better off you are. You can be diagnosed as early as 12 months. But we've heard rumors that, you know, some people wait till they're 5 years old.
Wow.
And one of the keys to getting the diagnosis early is early intervention. So you get the therapies that Catherine mentioned to begin with. People can come into your home. You get respite, which is kind of like in-home babysitting, so you as a parent can have that break, and they get training for social abilities and
communication, occupational therapy for sensory disorders, physical therapy for low muscle tone in their core, feeding and issues. They can go to mealtime connections, because a lot of kids on the spectrum have very self-regulated diets where they restrict foods because of textural experiences with them.
Well, and of course, it's wonderful that the Autism Society of Southern Arizona is here and going to have this resource fair and walk. It's going to be a week from Saturday at the Keno Sports Complex. That's the Veterans Stadium. And this is an opportunity. Last year, 1,500 people came. This is a wonderful opportunity, Nicole and Catherine, to network.
Absolutely. One of the things we really like about this resource fair part of the walk is we have over 50 exhibitors come in. And so it's kind of, we say it's like a one-stop shop. You can really get all the information you need, whether it be from Mealtime Connections. We're going to have the Department and Developmental Disabilities there. And then we have things like therapy dogs. And we actually have a program with Herbertage Cat Foundation for cat therapy. And they'll be there. So as a parent, you can go through that. But we don't just focus on autism. We have people for Down syndrome there and many other disabilities as well.
The animals are a real breakthrough for a lot of the kids, aren't they, Kathy?
Oh, absolutely. My son has a service dog, and it's been a godsend.
Wow.
They can communicate with the dog when sometimes they can't communicate with people. They also are extremely calming.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids get overwhelmed, sensory is just too much for them, whether it be fluorescent lights flickering or the loudness of a room, they can go to their pet and just calm down and cuddle with them and pet them, and it's very relaxing.
And if someone calls and they're really beside themselves about what to do, Nicole, you're probably the first step, right?
We really are one of the very first phone calls people make after they get a diagnosis. And one of the greatest things we have in our office right now is a mom who is our assistant up in the front office, and she can walk you through step by step on, we understand, we've been there, we know the next steps. We have a lending library in our office of over 1,000 books and videos that people can come in. We have a board of directors who just know this inside and out, which is great. And then we have a professional advisory committee, and that contains like 30 of the top autism professionals in town. So if I don't know the answer, and if Jamie doesn't know the answer, and my board, we can still reach out. And Dr. Rice, who we mentioned earlier, sits on that, and she also sits on our board of directors. So we really do have answers at our fingertips.
It's wonderful to have a resource like the Autism Society of Southern Arizona. And Catherine, as a parent, it's a real challenge, and is probably very frightening for some of these young parents.
Oh, absolutely. When I first got the diagnosis, I needed to spend a few days kind of, and I don't want to use this term lightly, but it was almost grieving for the baby I thought I had.
Of course.
Then I got the autism diagnosis, and then immediately it's, what can I do to help?
Yes.
What can I do to make things better? How do I fix it?
And from that day forward, it's been very positive.
Oh, yes, yes. And the Autism Society has been there for me and for many other families. We're actually celebrating our 25th year in the community, and this is our 10th annual walk.
All right, Catherine McCronus, thank you very much, Catherine, for coming in. And thank you very much, Nicole Glassner. And the walk, again, the details going to be a week from Saturday.
Right. It's April 9th. Registration starts at 7:30 in the morning. The walk starts at 9. We are out at Keno. You can pre-register at www.as.org. autism-az.org or give us a phone call at 770-1541.
Glad we could help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, Catherine and Nicole. Now I want to tell our listeners about a place I love to go, especially on weekends. What a great place to... I love to garden, so go over to Green Things. And they're right off River Road, 3384 East River, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is greenthingsaz.com, and Jan and Jack are the owners, and they've got roses. I love roses from Green Things. They're grown right there on their 13 acres, so they're very at home in Tucson, the roses. They're coming in 5-gallon containers, ready for the planter or in the ground, $29.95. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs.
Catman and Superdog want you to be a superhero for homeless pets for Arizona Gives Day. Make your donation to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org/azgives and help us fight the evils of pet abandonment and animal cruelty. Arizona Gives Day is April 5th. Donate now at hssaz.org/azgives.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Looking for a great weekend getaway? How about Silver City? It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. Then, okay, take a I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, and about 40 minutes, you'll be up in the high country, up in Silver City, and there's a lot to do up there. Of course, they have the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and you can just hang out in historic Silver City, and they've got some great restaurants. New York Times has even written up some of the restaurants in Silver City. So, you know, a lot to do there. Don't need to go all the way up to Santa Fe. You got Silver City. You can just drive over there, southwestnewmexico.org, and they have the full listing of great places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins. One of my favorite people is with me now on the Buckmaster Show, CPA. He is Michael C. Flowers. Mr. Flowers, how are you?
Great, Bill. Great to see you.
Certified public accountant, and we were talking a bit during the break. You've got an anniversary. This is 40 years in the business.
That's it. It just makes you feel old, doesn't it? Yeah, I started in 1976 out of New York City and had my current firm since 1984. So we're 32 years as a firm and 40 years doing taxes and stuff. And love it.
The firm's very well respected. You've got that central location over on Broadway. You were named Chamber of Commerce, named you the Small Businessman of the Year a few years ago. So it's not like the firm like came to town yesterday.
No.
Don't know a lot of the players. You'd be surprised, some of the clients of Michael C. Flowers. It's like a who's who of Tucson. This guy knows everybody. And if you're looking for a CPA, and some people, Michael, you know, CPA is something you just don't mail away for a mail order thing.
No, it's like a doctor or a lawyer, and it's a very respected profession. And unfortunately, too many people are either trying it themselves or going to people that don't have the credentials we do. And
oh, you mean that guy that stands on the corner?
Yeah, with the little
with a little costume or something.
That's just what we want to do.
No, okay, we've got everybody knows about April 15th, but this year it's April 18th for the filing.
Yeah, it's just something with the holiday back in Washington, D.C. To be honest with you, we haven't told our clients it's the 18th.
No.
We're telling them it's the 15th. Yeah. And then if there's some sort of last-minute emergency, we'll deal with it on a Monday. Monday's the 18th, Friday's the 15th, but there is I hope my clients aren't listening, but you can file up until April 18th. We'll be done in our office on the 15th, which is delivering a few returns on the 18th.
790-2040. We'd love to hear from you if you have any kind of tax questions, tax concerns. And Michael, you would be, well, I guess you're not surprised to know this, that 1 in 4 Americans do wait until 2 weeks prior to the deadline.
Yeah, it's a frenzy, and with our clients, some of our clients are always waiting for their K-1s or investment-type information, so it's hard to say, but people that just have a W-2 or something, it's very easy for them to file in January or February. Those that have more sophisticated returns or sold property and have to gather all their information, they're more March and April. And I would assume most of your listeners know that you can get an automatic extension, and we probably should talk a little bit about that.
How do you get that extension? Is it something that's difficult?
It's not difficult. You have to fill out the form, but it's super critical that you fill out the form, because if you're late filing your return, the penalty is 5% per month.
Whoa, 5%?
Per month. So, and I think it maxes out at 25%, but just by not filing a simple form, which is an automatic 6-month extension, you could owe, you know, an extra 25% if you, even if you don't have the money, you should file for an extension, and then you can always pay them a little bit later. They'll charge you a little bit of interest and a little bit of late payment penalty, but the late payment penalty is only 0.5% per month or 6% per year. So
get organized, though. That's the first thing. You know, you got to get all the forms together. You got the W-2s, the 1099s, the mortgage interest statements, student loan statements. Get all the receipts together. Get them all
together. Yeah, the basic start, if you're just, you know, going to tackle it this weekend, I would get out last year's tax return. And generally, anywhere where you see a number on last year's return, you're going to probably have something similar this year. So, as Bill said, if you have interest income, you'll have 1099s. And if you have a W-2, if you own your own business, whatever you're involved in, but you also want to be aware of what's changed in the tax laws or what may new deductions you may be able to take advantage of, like Roth IRAs or regular IRAs and those kinds of things.
Were there some changes that people should know about, or not many this year?
Nothing too dramatic. The main thing I would say is to seek a professional. It doesn't have to be my office as a CPA, but we strongly believe in having a CPA prepare tax returns. It's sort of like doing your own teeth as opposed to going to the dentist. I mean, people have invested their careers. I mean, I have 40 years experience. I've done thousands and thousands of returns, and I think I have a much better opportunity of finding tax savings than somebody who's going to try to do it once a year and without the breadth of knowledge that we have.
And, of course, if you do try to do it yourself and you don't use a CPA, and if there are concerns from the IRS, it's always nice to have the CPA as someone that can represent you.
We've taken on a number of new clients when they do hear from the IRS, and we then get to defend their tax return, but we don't, in some cases, feel as strong as we would as if we did it, because we've been blessed that we've had very few audits in our office, and that's one of the things that help people sleep at night, a peace of mind, knowing that the return's done. It was done by a professional. And if there are any questions, it's our responsibility, and if it's an error on our part, we certainly will pay the interest and penalties associated with it. But generally, it's a matter of interpretation. And again, as a CPA, I may be able to better present the case to the IRS than somebody who's just trying it on their own.
People are, you know, there's been a lot of concern about filing online and identity theft and all of that. And how has the whole online thing changed your business, Michael?
We now file online, and we have special codes, and it's pretty much encrypted, and it that part of the system works well, but the amount of fraud at the IRS is staggering. Mm. 60 Minutes, I think, did a show where a guy was just on a Saturday. He had some Social Security numbers making up information, filing returns, and then the IRS now, because not everybody has a bank account, they're issuing debit cards, which makes it so much easier to have fraud as opposed to a check made out to Bill Buckmaster or Mike Flowers, and where am I going to get this cash and where do I have the identity. But now they can steal your identity, get a $10,000 refund, they get a debit card, and you never know who did it.
Mm-hmm. But there is there is some peace of mind by letting your CPA do filing online, because you just said you have the most sophisticated encrypting system.
Yeah, and our software alone is like $15,000. The amount of what we pay for software to prepare our tax returns or trust individuals, partnerships, corporations, S-corporations, et cetera. So it's not a simple little program, and it has all the forms and you know, we've been very, very blessed that it's been a very secure system.
And your business has really grown tremendously. And a lot of your business is word of mouth.
It's primarily word of mouth. Yeah. We're not like lawyers or the personal injury lawyers or the guy standing on the side of the street. And, you know, having been in town and having so many friends and knowing so many people in town, it's refreshing when somebody says, you know, go see Mike Flowers, he'll handle it. And I pride myself on doing it rapidly and accurately. And when we get a job, we get it done. We're like a pit bull on a job. Once there's something to be done, you know yourself, Bill, as you've had, mm-hmm. different issues in your tax life, we just step up and get it done regardless.
Yeah, you really do. I've never had an issue with Michael C. Flowers. They always take care of business and they get it done in a very timely manner. And for people who are wondering, maybe a CPA is just out of my price range, a lot of times a CPA can find the things that will save you the money and will basically take care of the cost.
We pride ourselves on finding more than what we charge a client whenever we do a return. Something simple as a non-cash donation. A lot of people go through their checkbook and, they get everything from their checkbook, everything from their credit card, but they may not think, oh, that's right, I gave some items to Goodwill. And, if it's a $500 item and you're in a 30% tax bracket, that saves you $150 in tax.
There you go.
CPA charges you $200-$500 mm-hmm. to do a tax return, it doesn't take long, as well as the peace of mind, again, knowing that it's right. And, the worst thing is to pay more taxes than you owe. I don't think anybody really wants to do that.
Michael C. Flowers, we'll find your office on Broadway.
Broadway and Country Club.
Yep, Broadway and Country Club. And, of course, there's a link on buckmastershow.com that will get you over to Michael C. Flowers. We pride ourselves on, thank you very much, we pride ourselves on your sponsorship, great sponsorship.
Bill, you've been a lifelong friend, and I really enjoy you, and you've been a good friend to me. And
thank
proud
you.
To call you my friend.
Thank you very much. Michael C. Flowers with us on the Buckmaster Show for Tucson at 4 this afternoon. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen will be back at 4 for their show. And then we do 3 hours of talk, 6 to 9 each morning here on KVOI. And then I'll be back tomorrow, Friday Focus, with Sheriff Chris Nanos. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.